Thank you, choir, for that wonderful special. This morning we're going to be looking into Revelation chapter 5, the last few verses of chapter 5. I've been on a series of heaven, God's throne. This is the last part of that series about heaven and God's throne. And I hope that this gives you a little bit more insight about what's taking place as John is. It's been revealed, and revelation has been given to John. And the more we know about heaven, the more we're going to enjoy and understand how God has worked throughout the years and how God is preparing each one of us for his second return and what will take place after that, and many things. It's going to occur after Christ returns again. But until then, we are to try to learn as much about heaven. You know, it's interesting that more is taught and about hell than it is heaven in the Bible. But needless to say, that might be good because no one wants to go there, right? To hell. And maybe that's why the scripture spends more on that, so it will warn people about the consequences and the judgment that will come if we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So heaven is most worthy to be proclaimed because that's where we'll spend eternity as Christians one of these days. So if you'll join with me, we'll look at verse 8 through 14 of this last section or series about heaven's throne. In verse 8 it says, when he had taken the book, and that would be Christ, the Lamb of God, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, seven seals. For God, with your blood, men from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of thousands and thousands. Now, when you look at that number, In the Greek form or Hebrew form of myriads or the number of thousands, Greek or Hebrew only goes up to 10,000. But when you look at that and multiply what the Hebrew form of this is, that it's millions and millions of angels and those who was praising God. In verse 12, and saying with a loud voice, worthy is that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing, and every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessed and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. In verse 14, and the four living creatures kept saying, amen, amen, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. So here in these verses 8 through 14, it continues the description as from 1 through 7 last week. The description of the vision of the throne, the things that are taking place on the throne, the seven seals that was to be broken and opened, which signifies the things that are to come, the things that involved us, our lives and so forth, and redemption of Jesus Christ, Him being the Lamb of God. Now this scene concerns the one who sits on the throne of heaven, the living beings, as we read, the elders, the multitude of angels, but the main figure now here is pointed out, the Lamb of God, are the Lion and the Lamb of God. And He is the one in heaven who conceals all of them. The Lamb. No one was worthy but the Lamb. And He qualified because He was willing to give His life for the world. Now, when you look at this passage of Scripture this morning, I want us to think about the great significance in the preceding passage that from last week has been given to the seal book and the search for the only one worthy to open this seven seals. And when the Lamb takes the seal scrolls, all heaven erupts in a song of praise to the Lamb of God and falls down and worships before Him. For he alone is worthy to be worshipped. He alone can bring about the redemption of man, the purpose for which man and earth has been created. So first of all this morning, let's look at the Lamb blood bought body as verses 8 through 10 reveals to us. Now, as again, the scriptures are given through to us through prophets and through the apostles and so forth, part through revelation and the other through inspiration, what they experienced. And here in verse 8, it begins the description of what occurs in heaven. The moment the Lamb, who alone is entitled, and the Word of God says worthy, who takes the book and opens it and breaks the seals. Can you just imagine, and I try to visualize it, awe-inspiring worldwide joy as the Scripture teaches us throughout the heart of the living occurs with Jesus taking the book of destiny. It's the destiny of everyone who has ever been created or placed upon this earth and those in heaven. It's our destiny that is opened up and from the right hand of God. And the praiseworthiness of this Lamb suggests an expression of reverence, of praise and worship. And it says they fell down before the Lamb. You know, there's something special about falling down and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something special about coming down to this altar and getting on your hands and knees and just open up your heart with praise and worship to the Lord and just thanking Him and thinking about what's in our hearts and just pouring out our lives. And that's what was taking place here. It was a gratitude of worship and praise. Awe-inspiring worship was taking place. And it mentions prayers here. And these prayers are sacred incense before God, before the Lamb. It says even the saints, talking about those here on earth, sweet incense was used in the Old Testament times, especially before the Holy of Holies. And In the Old Testament, and as we've been studying on Wednesday night, of things that takes place as far as sacrifices and atonements for our sins, and how Leviticus lays all of that out. And now it talks about the Holy of Holies here, which they went to the temple once a year to offer themselves sacrifice, and the priest had to offer sacrifice first, and that was the only time they would use the word Yahweh, because Yahweh, God Almighty, is so noteworthy that they didn't want to misuse or misplace the name of God, and that's when they used Yahweh. But the offering of sacrifices and the atonements was done on a daily basis, as the scripture here will point out as well. But in prayers, prayer meetings, when I was thinking about this scripture and prayer and the emphasis that God places on prayer, it's our communication to Him on a regular basis. I mean, just continual. Paul says, may I pray continually, may I always be in the attitude of prayer. And prayer, I'm afraid, prayer meetings may be the least attended meetings in America today. But when you think about it, our prayers are attended by the Lord God Himself. He comes to our aid. He listens to us. Just as we pray for one another, as we pray for others, as we pray for God's will to be done, He attends our prayers personally. He hears and acts upon those according to His grace and mercy. And now, when you look in verse 9, once the book of destiny was taken, it says, those in heaven pay adoration to the one worthy to take it, the ones in heaven. So, when you look at what John is seeing, what he's experiencing, and what he is laying out before us as far as the Lamb of God, salvation is pictured as a ransom and a purchase. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And then if you go back a few chapters, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why John 3:16 is so important for us as believers in Jesus Christ. So before we believe, we must realize that for God so loved the world that He did give His only begotten Son. And that's why it's so important to understand prayer is important for our lives and in God's answering our prayers. So what we see here in this scripture, Christ has purchased us for God's sake. Now, in Revelation chapter 14, it talks about the 144,000 that were witnesses or are saved and were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so that we become the possession of God and find release from the bondage of sin and death, from the evil and the suffering that has plagued this earth existence. And that's the destiny of these seven seals being poured out, so that John is seeing exactly why it was so important that the seven seals be open, but no one was worthy, but only one, the Lamb of God, because He is the one that purchased, paid the sin, the wages of sin, according to Romans 6:23. And the blood of Jesus is precious to all of us. And that's why Jesus says, as often as you take this bread and this cup, you do it in remembrance of me. And all this is tied together because of what Christ has done for us. Even 1 Peter 1:18-19 says, for it is by the blood of the Lamb that we have been redeemed. If it hadn't been for the blood of Jesus, we would not have been redeemed. We would have went right on just like they did in the Old Testament, having to sacrifice daily animals and birds and things like that, which only temporarily. But now, once and for all, according to Revelation, Jesus came in the Hebrews, book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus died once and for all sins of the world. And so God's message of salvation, eternal life, is not limited to just specific culture or race or country. Every tribe, every tongue, every people is called to take part in the sacrificial lamb of God to be cleansed from their sins. So when we see this, it's the power of the blood, and it can redeem any person, anywhere, any time. See, God is not limited to time and space. So anytime, any place, mankind, when they hear the gospel, faith comes to hearing, and hearing by the word of truth, word of God. And in verse 10, it tells us that the result of our redemption. You see, this passage of scripture tells us of our destiny as the seven seals, again, were opened to show the world what is taking place and what will take place in the future. For those who have been redeemed and those that are not redeemed, what will be taking place in their life? And so for the Christian, it's a victory. It's a celebration for us. And I was thinking as I read and studying this passage of scripture, thank God it was the Lamb of God that was able to show us and paint that picture in the future of His coming again and the things going to be taking place afterwards. We need to know those things so we can be prepared and so we can be ready when He comes. We won't have any regrets, or you know, we can get on our hands and knees, or we can pray and say, Lord, you know, I want to examine my life because I want to be ready and prepared when You come again. As we read, you know, you may say to yourself, as I read your scriptures and I see plainly how you reveal everything that's going to be taking place and how I am to prepare myself, because these seven seals are very important, because John, he wept because there was no one worthy until he realized there was one, and that was the Lamb of God. So, now, let's look at the second part of this. The new song of redemption, verses 11 and 12. And in these two verses here, it's the intense praise and worship. And it expanded into countless of angels who were proclaiming, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And He was the only one that was able to open the seven seals. And the reverent response and worship spread wider and wider across heaven as the angels joined in, and the elders and all the four creatures of heaven and the earth joined in the praise. So there are harmony and unity and spontaneous worship of those who had heard it and those who united in this praise and worship. And what makes this so important and significant of what was taking place here, John, he made a point, because it was through revelation and inspiration that he recorded 44 times John declares, "Beheld, beheld," and John looked. Not only did he beheld, but he looked. And 27 times it says that he heard. He heard. So I think that's very significant that John would record this here in Revelations. And though angels stand outside the closed book of the redemption, they recognize both the splendor of the Lord's sacrifice act and its eternal impact upon you and me and all of this world. They know the impact that this has upon our lives. And then when we're looking at verse 12, the countless angels proclaim, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." See, that's all stricken, all that was taking place in heaven. So if it took place in heaven, the awe-inspiring praise and worship and celebration of the Lamb who gave his life, how much more it is here on this earth. Amen? For us to recognize that and give tribute where it's most worthy. And it says to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings. And I could go on and on and on with what is being described right here for us. See, our Lord, He is worthy. All of our days, of all of our love, our highest praise, He died to take our sin, our shame, away. And I would say to that, bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. And then finally, the praise of all heaven. Oh, I tell you what, there is so much here that I probably could preach another couple hours on this. But we know how limited our time is when we come together like this. But I hope that you will take time and just read the book of Revelation. It will inspire you. It will encourage you and bless your heart. So in verse 13, every creature, it says here, thing gets into the scene. It says that people from every nation are praising God before His throne. Now, this time, bear in mind, this time right here in these two verses, John does not claim to see, okay? He didn't claim to see, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, but only to hear every creature in the heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing. He didn't say he saw, but he heard. He could hear it. God allowed him to hear what was taking place there in heaven. So just try to imagine such singing. You know, you hear our choir singing every Sunday, and you're blessed. Amen? And when we sing together in harmony and unity. But imagine the whole heavens of host singing and praising God. A perfect note. It's perfect harmony. And it is one that you would never, ever forget. Just try to imagine it. Heaven's host also gives him equal worship. And then the last verse here, it relays the respect and continues even the ends of the world of the worship of the Lamb. Jesus is worshiped because He is worthy to open the scroll of destiny of man. And everything was concealed here. And it was important that someone was worthy enough, who was the Lamb of God, to open it, to reveal the future of what is going to be taking place when Christ comes again. Our part of the redemption, and Christ paid the price for that. Now, in conclusion here, the Lamb's ability to open the book is because He opened up the way for salvation for every one of us. You, me, this whole world. Now, even now, each of us can take part in celebrating God's majesty by glorifying Him with our lives, the way we live our lives. And oftentimes you've heard me say, we need to allow Christ to live His life through us. That's the only way that we can have a righteous and holy life, is allow Him to live His life through us. And so this day, as we think on Christ's work on the cross, as John is describing it here, He is the Lamb of God, and His power to bring about all of God's purpose in our lives, then let us join, every one of us, the chorus and the worship Him. See, let us begin, eternal praises of God now. Let us join now, today, as the host in heaven have already done, because He is most worthy to be praised. Amen? Amen. Our Father God, we thank You that You were worthy to open the seven seals, which reveals man's destiny. And the things that we're experiencing today, Lord, is a part of that. But every one of us who have been redeemed, Lord, we get to take part in the celebration and victory one of these days, because we will know You are worthy to be praised and worshiped for what You have done for mankind, for all Your created works. Lord, we thank You this morning that Your Holy Spirit is real and alive, and it speaks to us through Your word and through prayer. And when You reveal things to us, and You do reveal to us individually, will we fall short of Your glory. But thank You, Lord, for the reconciliation of Jesus Christ, that before the foundations of the world, You created man, and You provided a way out of our sins through Jesus Christ. We are justified by Him, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And anyone that has not experienced any of those three things, Lord, they can today. Whether they're here in this sanctuary or listening live, Your Holy Spirit is always at work. We always need to draw near to You so we will know Your will and Your purpose. Give us understanding, Lord, as we study and as we do draw near to You, of the things that we need to make preparation for in the future. So many things are happening around us. People, illnesses and deaths, and devastations, crises are going on every tick of a clock, every second, every minute. Makes us aware, Lord, that this world, one of these days will come to a close. But Lord, eternity is forever. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of Your word and how You give it to us, so we won't have to guess or have any second thoughts or any doubts who's in control. During this invitation, Lord, may we just pour out our lives to You, as Romans 12 says, that we are to be living servants to You. If we're not fully committed or surrendered, may we make that commitment today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.